far are you going?
About 30 years.
In this week's episode, we get to celebrate Halloween the Devilman way. Okay, cool. I'm so full.
Oh, just ate?
A while ago, it was watching college football and eating the three kinds of soup that were over, plus like queso dip, which I made into nachos.
Oh.
And then my mom made like this Milky Way cake, like I think partly out of Milky Way bars. That was pretty good.
I could see how you could get full on all that.
It's probably 4,000 calories over the recommended daily in like all three of those meals. I'll risk my own death for it. You ready to talk about Devilmans?
Yeah, we watched the second OVA.
The second OVA definitely had a lot more action in it.
Yeah, because the first one, it's mostly set up. And then there's some action at the end, but this one is demon fighting the whole time.
It lacked the, there's a lot of cool demon designs, but it lacked that kind of like the girl in the dance club from the first one that like you see her transform into a demon firsthand, aka her tits turn into mouths with eyeballs growing out of it. And I love showing people that clip whenever I do my What the Heck moments in anime. It's like one of the later clips that night, so.
Do you use any clips from this one?
It's just the one from the rave in the first one, demon transformation. Because, like, I probably said it last year when we recorded the first OVA for a Halloween special. Like, I have to give it to Nago Nagai and his demon character, or his demon designs. Like, they are really far out there and like really weird looking, but they're so beautifully done.
This one, it seems to be he's into turtles or something. There's like that turtle with the southern accent, and then there's the like some turtle shows up at the end and merges with the harpy lady.
Yeah, I think that's just the manga UK dub. I mean, this was dubbed by manga and then put out by LA Hero, like same with the first one, but
yeah, it's very manga dub because there's tons of swearing in it that's very typical for them.
It doesn't swear as much as like any other manga UK dub like Angel Cop or Mad Bull 34 or Cyber City 080.
Well, there is the part where Kira yells, "What the fucking hell?" And I guess there's other stuff, but I can't remember it.
Yeah, well, then also there's that borderline Duke Nukem quote where I'll rip off your fucking head and shit down your neck.
Oh yeah, that one too. That was very notable.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the dub for this, I think it came out like a year before that game was released. So like, it wouldn't surprise me if like the people at 3D Realms are like, man, we love Devilman. So we're going to take some of those quotes in that dub and then put it in our video game, because that is essentially what Duke Nukem is all about.
I'll rip your head off and shit down your neck.
We might as well go through all this, but I mean, like, because the beginning that we saw, like, I have to say, I like the animation that they put into the sister, like, pounding her little brother on the head when he's playing Famicom, and in the slow motion toast scene where it flies up and she opens her mouth to catch it.
Yeah, she steals his toast.
Oh, dude, that is, I was like, damn, she got skills.
Toast grabbing skills.
Toast grabbing skills. Pick six. Intercepted. But no, it was like she was talking to Akira, and then Kira's like gets a phone call, and he's just like, I'll be there. And then he like basically parkours his way through the city with through his demon powers, which I thought was pretty. He was parkouring before parkour became a thing, people out there.
What year is this OVA from?
1990. I don't know how old parkour is, but I don't think it came before 1989.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Because it was like a big European thing. So then I think, I mean, I could be wrong. So I guess we could always Wikipedia that, perhaps. But I don't believe it existed before 1994 or 5 at the earliest. And it obviously started in France, from what I understand.
Yeah.
And then it spread out to everyone trying to do it like Chris Chan, where he basically runs 4 city blocks to a parking deck, and he's out of breath the entire time. I don't know why I thought of that video, but I'm glad I did.
Have you seen the one where he's hiking?
Oh, the one he's in the forest and he calls like a little bitty like creek bed a chasm or something like that.
Yeah, that one is hilarious.
And like,
he's like really panting in that one too.
He walks up some hill, and then like, I think somebody like figured out what park he was at, and the entire trail was like less than a mile long, and all he did was walk. Like, man, you have got to get in shape badly.
I think he only did that because one of his fake girlfriends on the internet was telling him he needed to exercise because he was so obese.
Well, I mean, even if the girlfriend was fake, that's still the best decision they told him to do. So, like, it's not really trolling. It's more like, we don't want you to die before you're 31.
Yeah, a lot of the stuff they would advise him to do is not actually, like, a bad idea. But I'm sure after he figured out they were trolls, he'd be like, oh, so exercising is really an evil troll plan.
Exercising is a crutch. Like, it's all a scam and everything. It's just like a corporate takeover thing. People don't need to do any kind of health. Yeah, I'm sure my kinesiology teacher would love to hear that side of the argument.
I love when a Chris Chan argues with experts and thinks he has, like, a better point, like, on the whole Asperger's thing, where he insists that it's not similar to autism, to like, actual scientists who know about the stuff.
And they're like, where are you getting information from? And he's like, this is what I know. It's true facts. And they're like, no, it's not. I guess we should sort of not segue to Chris Chan, but like, yeah, it was interesting because like the turtle monster in this reminded me of a white old man, Southern plantation owner. And I'm just thinking of like, I got these here heads from the head store, took them for a quarter pound for a grouping, and I don't know. I don't speak Southern plantation racist person, whoever voiced that turtle, which I thought was great.
Yeah, I'm sure that's like a British person doing that voice and trying to sound Southern, but it was pretty amusing.
I don't understand why Manga UK would think that, like, okay, we have to appeal to the American audience. We have to cover all ranges of the different dialect in America, like your Southern redneck, white trash, plantation owner, and people from New York, and people from the Midwest, and like Valley girls. They try to branch. It must have been a different market way back then than how we understand it now.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they thought it gave each character more personality if they had, like, a ridiculous voice.
Yeah.
But it makes it hard to focus on what the turtle is saying, because
I wonder, it's so silly sounding. I wonder if they went to America and found, like, an actual, like, Colonel Sanders lookalike, and they actually spoke Southern, and are like, you want to be in this anime as a demon turtle? Well, hell, I don't see why I not suppose I should. The farm's looking bad. Gotta get some extra cash in the old wallet here, you see. God, stop me.
The second monster sounded pretty funny, too, with what you called the gargling noises.
In a giant horn one?
That one that had, like, water powers or something.
That one. That was the one that was trying to suffocate the girl or whatever, yeah.
And it kept making, like, these gargling
kind of noise. Yeah, it kept gargling, like, it was like he was trying to emphasize it, and like, I don't think anybody in the sound booth was there to tell him to stop. he just heard it, like, he was breaking in, and then, like, Akira's talking, you just hear...
Yeah, he kept doing it, like, even when Akira was pounding that monster to death, it just kept on making that noise.
It's like, you can stop now. We get it. We get that you're a water monster thing for or whatever the heck you are, demon. Water demon.
I wonder if it makes these sounds in the Japanese version. I've only seen it dubbed.
Oh, I highly doubt that.
Yeah.
I think when I saw this, I think it might have been subtitled. Because, like, there's the quote about how, like, Akira wants to soak the girl's tits or whatever.
Oh yeah.
I think in the version I saw the subtitles, it was like, I think he made a joke of like, hey, if you go in the tub, the water might, like, you know, I think if you soak in the tub too long, your body stops absorbing the water, especially right in here. And he holds up, that's the scene where he puts his hands there, like where his imaginary tits would be, and she's like, oh, piss off, Akira, or whatever.
Oh.
And I thought that line was pretty funny, too. I don't know if it was, like, an official subtitle version, or it might have been a fan sub, but I found that pretty interesting.
And then what did she say when she goes to the bathroom and she's like, I wish he would?
I don't remember. I wish he would soak or smother my tits or whatever. Oh, the line is, if only he would soak my chest. Oh, well.
Yeah, she spends the whole time in the bathroom thinking about him and talking about him and how much she wants him to do that. And see her without panties.
Knickers, she said the quote knickers, especially when, like, he woke up from that demon dream.
Yeah.
And which was pretty cool. Like, that was trippy and cool at the same time. He woke up. And then he goes and, like, raises up her nightgown to see that she doesn't have a giant hole in her stomach. Mm-hmm. And then, like, we just see, like, a brief, like, shot of her panties or whatever. And then she's like – and he makes, like, some sort of comment that's not even related to her knickers.
Yeah,
and
he's like – starts,
like, how dare you say they're, like, disgusting or whatever. And he's just like, you know, I'm gonna troll you. I don't really care.
Yeah, he's, like, thinking about his dream, and he's like, it was disgusting. And she's like – how dare you say my knickers are disgusting?
I felt like, yeah, I smelt them on the way in here because you don't know how to wipe your own butt. That's how disgusting I think they are.
Ew.
No, not really. Oh, if only that was in the dub.
Well, then they do show them again when she's in the bathroom.
Yeah, well, they were pretty white. And then she's like, I can't get rid of them because they're the only ones I have. And then she's like, I'm going to run out there and let him see me naked and see what he thinks. And I'm like, you're just asking to get raped, aren't you?
I think she wants that.
Yeah, so it's not considered as rape. It's like shy consentment or something. I don't know. She can't pull out the rape card. I'm sorry. Any kind of feminist that we'd be listening to this. We're taking this in at face value, obviously. So this is just our interpretation. If you don't believe it, watch the anime yourself. It's all in there.
It's obvious she loves Akira. She's one of those anime girls who only exists to suck the main character's dick, basically.
Yeah, well, in the TV series, like, I know that Discotech Media did their typical, like, we're going to release the first half of the first episode on the internet and let people look at it regarding subtitles and stuff like that. And because it's been a long time since I've seen the TV series, but, like, I remember watching the first half of that episode. And basically in the TV show, like, it does describe, like, what happens to Akira's parents and everything, which they kind of sort of bring that up in this anime. But
were they killed by a turtle in that one too?
Or they were killed by a demon in the TV show and everything, but or at least his dad. But no, like, we're basically like, she is there basically as kind of like a way to control him. Because in the TV series, like, at least in the first episode, they're like, he runs to pick her up from school and he's like riding like at like a bat out of hell on his motorcycle to get there. And then, like, she's hassling him to get there on time. And then they see their teacher, and he proceeds to run him over on the motorcycle going up the stairs over a passenger bridge. And then the teacher, like, falls over the railing and lands into a truck. And and all Akira says is, like, well, I guess we're not having class today. And she just, like, beats him over the head, like, Kara, you dick. That's the teacher. And then, like, apparently, like, in the classroom, he starts, like, belting kids with a whip or something because they disrespected him. And then she comes in there. And she's able to calm him down because that's, like, the only person he can listen to. And then everyone teases him for being a married couple or whatever, so.
Oh. Yeah.
No, it's good stuff.
So, how much of that is on DVD now? Is it the whole thing?
Yeah, it's supposed to release the whole thing. It's all 30-something episodes, I believe.
Yeah, I haven't seen any of that yet.
I mean, I've seen, like, 3 or 4 episodes a long time ago. I don't remember much about it. Other than the subtitles that I saw was, like, really broken English. Like, it is you who will go to the hell. I will not go to the hell or whatever.
That's fine.
I don't know who fan subbed it at the time. This was, like, 8 years ago, so.
Yeah. I was watching, like, after I watched this, I watched some other Go Nagai stuff, like, a year or two ago. And I looked up some of his other old TV shows, and there was, I think, one called Go Liger or something like that.
Okay.
And, only like 2 episodes I could find subbed, and then God Mazinger also only had 2 episodes dubbed, so subbed rather. So
I think
there's not much of his stuff fan subbed, unfortunately, it seems like.
Not a lot of it. I think the only 2 series that catches my interest is Aztec Kaiser and Starfleet or X-Bomber. Which X-Bomber was the marionette show, or science fiction show he did back in the, like, 80, 81 or something. Mm. Or it might have been 79. But they brought it over in England as Starfleet. I know recently there's a guy that writes for Astro Toy column on ANN. He wrote about the X-Bomber, like, Shogokin toy, I think. And he's just like, yeah, this is something you guys have probably never heard about. And I'm like, well, actually, I know what this is. And then Aztec Todd Kaiser is basically about, like, pro wrestling with, like, a demon person or something. I remember showing that, like, at NashiCon the last time I did a panel at NashiCon. And I had, like, 30 minutes to kill, so I just put on an episode, and there was, like, 4 black dudes just laughing every 5 seconds at everything in Aztec Kaiser. And I'm like, well, hell, I might as well just show this the entire 2 hours or hour and a half or whatever. I'm like, this is pretty good, so. That might be potential panel clip stuff one day. I got to go through Aztec Kaiser. No, so, like, after the sewer thing, which basically he beats up on Plantation Turtle Person, then he goes back to, he goes to meet Rio, who is recovering in the hospital. And then Rio is basically, I guess he's from his injuries from the first OVA. And then basically in there, he's got, like, all these nurses gawking over him because he's such a player. And then, of course, like, he's trying to – and then Akira tries to talk to him, and there's, like, 3 nurses' heads covering over the side to see how, like, so handsome he is. And then Akira just slams the door on their faces. He's like I was saying before I was interrupted, bitches. And that's when they had, like, the whole, like – they talked about the whole, like, how humans and demons are part of some sort of ecosystem. And, like, basically saying how, like, you were, like, going on Twitter about how, What do you mean that there's no kind of national, like any kind of predator for humans? There's bears and alligators.
Yeah.
Let me see what I'm looking up here. So
I think I mentioned tigers too.
Yeah, but and then I was okay. Hang on.
But that's only in the parts of the world that haven't conquered nature as much as
yeah
the more civilized parts, I guess. I guess that's going to sound racist, but to some people, but the reality is that if you don't have predators, that means you've conquered nature to a greater extent than people who are getting eaten by bears and alligators and tigers and stuff.
And but, that's why human beings hunt, because we got to keep the animal population down.
But yeah, he's basically saying the demons are supposed to eat people to keep the human population down or something. Which is, I guess, makes Akira mad, and he starts, like, strangling him.
Yeah, well, I think the quote was saying how, like, you were talking about bears, and you're like, there was a guy who got eaten by a grizzly bear in Alaska, and how they made a movie about him called Grizzly Man.
Oh, yeah. I haven't seen it, but I heard about that.
Oh, well, I mean...
Like, 10 years ago.
But the thing about that is the fact that, like, you're in nature, and supposedly grizzly bears, like, they only eat you and attack you if you're, like, treading on them or you piss them off. Like, the way I understand is if you leave them alone, they'll leave you alone.
Yeah, I mean, I think basically he was involved with the bears for, like, a long time. He was some scientist or something, and then he brought his girlfriend up there or something, and it was, bear mating season or something, and things just got out of hand, and the bears started eating them, or killed them, or something.
So, it's the moral of that story is don't bring your girlfriend anywhere that's part of your hobby that involves the human species.
That involves the bear species, maybe, or you'll get killed. Okay.
I mean, like, what if you go out to like a butterfly dome, and like I guess if you bring a girlfriend there, they're just gonna like surround her, and then they wind up like eating her alive or something.
Yeah, they'll like find some poisonous flower and take its pollen and kill you with it. Who knows? Something will happen.
Or kill your girlfriend first, and you're gonna be like, why? Then you're dead because you just went over to the area that she died in from the poisonous flower or whatever.
Yeah.
Just take your girlfriends to restaurants. I think that might make them mostly happy. I don't know. Anyways, Devil Man. Demons attack Akira's foster parents for the time. They have the one that's able to like kind of like suck people in the wall and in the floors, because then like Akira sees a little brother. And then the little brother's like, I saw dad and he's in the wall. And then I'm just like, and then Akira's like, I'll go take care of it. And all I could think of was like, all in all, it's just another dad in the wall.
Yeah, he says that, like the Pink Floyd song.
Pink Floyd over the background, or like Pink Floyd was playing.
Yeah, the visual of the dad in the wall is pretty cool. And then I think the mother was in the wall too.
Yeah, the mother's coming through the ceiling, but like her body's also like transparent with the light, like the ceiling light as well. And then and then in the bath you got the girl that's getting suffocated by like the water demon person, and he's making all these gestures of she's like, who's there? I don't see you. And then like you just see her monologue of like, I'm in the bath water and I see everything.
Yeah.
And then. Well, Kira has to come in and save the day and also wreck the house. Well, the house is already messed up anyways at that point.
That was a pretty weak demon. He didn't even have to turn to Devil Man to beat that one.
Yeah, well, no. Akira, like, has, like, forehead beam laser that comes out of his forehead. And then, like, he's able to light the comforter or, like, the sheet on fire, which somehow the fire is able to destroy the facade of the water demon. And he's just a regular demon, and Akira's like, oh, I got you now. I can beat the crap out of you easily. And he does so without even transforming.
Yeah, and that thing's gargling the whole time.
Oh, yeah. And then of course, once everything's safe and sound, what's really behind all this is this harpy demon lady, who she has Mazinger Z-style, like, forearms that shoot out from her that are, like, talon claws. and that can later be called upon and like rotate like a frisbee like from miles away.
Yeah, because it like gets that ripped off or something, and then it comes flying back and attacks Devilman.
Yeah, like. Because apparently Akira gets trapped by her talents and he can't transform because they're, like, digging into him. And then as they're flying, apparently, like Ryo is able to understand that his friend's in trouble. So he, like, drives to, like, the tallest building in Japan with, like, in his, like, awesomely looking red Miata and, like, brings a sniper rifle with him. And, of course, he's got a trench coat on. Like, he's going to some D&D meeting or something.
Yeah, he looks pretty cool.
Like, he's going to a sci-fi meet or something. I don't know if he was supposed to be, like, the wizard guy from Flash Gordon or something like that. I don't know. Or evil wizard with cape. I don't know.
I'm sure all the nurses loved seeing him in that costume.
Vincent Price cosplay. I don't know. But anyways, he wears the cape and he goes up there and he basically pulls out this huge rifle. And Gogo 13 shoots her in the chest twice. To release Akira, and then Akira's able to gradually turn into Devil Man, and they fight along the buildings and stuff.
Yeah, somehow she lives through that.
Oh, yeah.
She's pretty powerful. Because they fight for, like, 20 minutes.
Yeah, the last 20-25 minutes is a giant fight scene.
And then they somehow get, like, sent into hell or something.
Well, they never go to hell, but they basically what happens is the fact that, like, in the city, there's, like, a bus that, like, crashes into a gas station and explodes. And then they fly around and apparently like Akira takes out like a 747 jet plane by crashing into it. And then apparently like he's in like this little no-name town like in Japan or this little like subdivision or something. And she winds up proceeding to nuke that side of Japan with her powers.
Yeah, it like gets nuked and then a bunch of demons show up and it seemed like hell. Maybe it was just Japan being
like
nuked.
Yeah, they go to the woods and then like that's when like she starts throwing logs at him and like demons start showing up to distract him, and that's when she's like calling on Lord Satan to help her and everything.
Yeah.
And all these little demons show up and then he's just taking him out with his one arm because at this point like she's taken that from him.
And then that other demon comes, well, they actually show Satan at one point for like 10 seconds.
Yeah, but he's like a shadow or something like that, so.
Yeah, and then he sends like another turtle looking creature, but it has like these huge things sticking out of its arms.
Like the Triceratops or Rhinoceros demon or whatever.
Yeah, it had those big horns coming out of its shoulders like one of those. And
yeah.
It like rips off its own head and fuses with the Harpy Lady.
Yeah, well, it rips off his own head because he's like, I've always loved you from the start, and you would have to use my body to possess me, to take over my powers, to stop Devil Man or something.
Yeah.
And he does it, and then I'm thinking, wait, how do demons know how to love? That really tripped me up, more than anything else in this LVA.
Yeah, they kept talking about how evil each other were and stuff, and how they love Satan, and then they're like, we love each other. And then they fuse together, and there's some shit about the dominant consciousness or whatever, and then...
Because at this point, like, Devilman ripped off one of the Harpy Lady's earwings or whatever, and that's when she fuses with the Rhino guy. And then apparently, like, Devilman gets stabbed in the stomach, and he eventually, like, is able to, like, use his wings and, like, fly away from it or something to get himself unstuck. And then, like, apparently, like, he blacks out as they're, like, hovering over him. And then they realize that, like, she died because she didn't have enough power to stop Akira. So she's, like, this motionless statue that's probably going to be there for centuries now. Because I thought when I first saw this, like, they turned to stone whenever they saw the moon or something. That's what I thought happened. I was just, like, I thought, like, it was, like they're vampires. Like, they see the sun and they turn into stone or dust or whatever.
No, I think that they there was something like because she was wounded before she fused.
Yeah,
she died of the injuries, and then but she died thinking that she beat Devil Man, and so supposedly that was a good thing. Devil Man was saying, I don't really know why that he would think it would be a good thing that his enemy thought he was dead, but
I don't know. But I just know that Akira meets up with him in the middle of this bed creek, and like Akira's got his arm back, and. A bunch of nice scenes in the mountainside, and then the credits roll where the family cures, the girl's family's waking up and they see their house wrecked or whatever.
Yeah, they're not in the walls anymore.
Yeah. Thank goodness for that. And then that's it. That's the end.
Yeah, there's one more shot of the naked girl, and then there's, like, another shot of Devilman, the rhino bird creature, and then that's pretty much the end.
Rhino herpy?
Yeah.
Harpy, I mean, excuse me. Rhino herpes?
But no, you can't get that out of your mind after I mentioned the...
Yeah, the Dave and Mike. It's interesting you told me that, because it's funny how Mike had explained to James what a harpy was, and he thought he was saying herpes.
Yeah, because I was surprised, because I thought he would have known about harpies, but he apparently didn't. He was like, oh, I don't know about that Greek mythology creature. Mike had to explain it to him, and he was like, no, I'm not saying that Dracula has herpes in his castle.
It's... Oh, crap. I mean, it's interesting how, like, Mike is, I mean, like, or at least James is really big into monster movies, but, like, I figured he'd probably seen one with a harpy in it.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too, because he has all these different monsters in the movie he made, and he's always doing all these Monster Madness Halloween videos, but I guess sometimes, you know, you just gloss over something.
Or maybe he just didn't understand what it was when he first saw it or something. It could be either one of those things.
Yeah, I mean, they don't always call it a harpy, you know. They might just show it in some movies or... I don't know.
Yeah. I guess I can kind of mention the people who worked on the Devilman OVA. I thought this was something directed by Ichiro Otano, but apparently not.
Are they all... directed by the same person, this and this first one and the third one?
I'm not really sure. Let me check and real quick.
The third one seemed kind of different, like it had a different director.
Oh, yeah, well, there's one where, come on, A&N, why can't you just take me to the OVA? Here we go, all these spinoffs. All right. There's... Online Apocalypse of Devilman, which I think was like it's an OVA, but I think it's as long as a movie, and that came out like in 2000 or something.
Yeah, that's the third one.
It just shows, okay, this might be the first two. Okay, this is the first two. So, directors are, this one had like the director by Tsutomu Ida. Let me see what he's worked on.
Never heard of him.
Yeah, neither have I. Barely Nothing.
Oh.
He did screenplay for Mighty Space Miners. He's done two things for Lupin the Third. He did key animation for Legend of the Gold of Babylon movie. And he did key animation for five episodes of Part 3 of the TV series. And he was an assistant director for Castle in the Sky. That is all A&N has this guy credited for.
Huh. Hmm.
It was not a bad anime at all. This is actually, I mean, it's better than the first Devilman for sure, because there's a lot of good action in it.
I haven't seen Mighty Space Miners or
I've got Legend, that on VHS.
Legend of whatever, but the other ones are good.
Babylon. I haven't seen a lot of Lupin the Third. I like Castle Cagliostro, and I'm content with that. Yeah. I mean, eventually I'll have to see Mystery of Mama. I heard that one's pretty crazy.
Oh yeah, I guess we could do some Lupin reviews at some point. Like, I haven't seen Mama either.
I think the only thing I saw on YouTube was, like, Orders to Assassinate Lupin or something. It was something about Lupin going to, like, some island owned by, like, a millionaire warmonger or something like that, who owns, like, all these, like, every single kind of warship and from every other country for years. And then, like, apparently he's got all this gold that Lupin is trying to suck out of there into their submarine or whatever. And then there was some guy that was after to assassinate Lupin or something. That's all I remember from it. Because apparently there's a lot of Lupin specials, because they make one every year that, like, apparently, like, a lot of those are forgettable, apparently.
Yeah, most of those have not even been released here. I think Funimation did release a bunch of them at one point, like 10.
Yeah.
But other than that, Lupin has not really gotten that much... it's not gotten that popular in America. Like, even the second series, which had a dub, I think the dub was not full. Like, they only did the first 70 episodes or something like mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. And Adult Swim only aired the first 26. And they skipped some, like the one with Hitler.
What was it? Anime Ego released one of the Lupin specials like that. And I think it might have been The Gold of Babylon.
I think the Mamo one was pretty popular, too. Like, I think it had a few releases. Discotech has been releasing them recently, and they try to include dubs, but a lot of these aren't dubbed. But there was one that had, I'm not sure which one it was, maybe it was the Liberty, Lady Liberty one, or...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Discotech, it had like five dubs or something crazy.
Yeah, well, no, Mr. Mama had four.
And then maybe that's it.
All right, Gold of Babylon was released by Anime Ego. So that's one of them they released like a long time ago, and obviously that license is... well forgotten about, so no one's bothered to get that or try to re-release it ever since. So
yeah, there is a sale on some of the Lupin movies on Right Stuff right now because they're doing a Discotech sale.
Oh, right now?
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know if it's still going on, but I checked a couple days ago and it was on there then.
They usually do pretty good about those sales. I mean, if it's more than 50% off, it has my interest. But
I think it was 40%, but there were some for like $15.
If any, you know what? Let's go check out Right Stuff and see if they still got a Discotech sale.
It was on the main page.
All right. Because maybe I might be able to get a cheaper set of that Last Fist of the North Star DVD set.
I know they had the first Lupin listed on there. The first Lupin series, because Discotech released that.
Yeah, so it's still going on until October 23rd, which this will be released well after this sale is over.
Oh, well.
They got Galaxy Express 3.9 for $11 or $12.
Is that the first one or the second one? Or?
I think that's the last movie.
Okay.
No, that might be the second one, because that's the one I do own.
I think the last one is called Endless Fantasy, because I actually bought that one. It was from like the 90s. That's it.
Yeah, because I've got the first two that I bought like a year ago that we'll have to definitely get around to reviewing that one day.
Yeah, I want to see the first two, because watching the third one, it was like, okay, I'm missing something here.
None of this makes sense. Okay, well, they got the last collection of Fist of the North Star for $38, but I'm pretty sure I can still go on Amazon and get it for about $30. Lily Cat is $14.97. I think that's way too much to pay for it, and it's already on YouTube for free, so I don't know. There's nothing on here that's under $10, I don't think.
I think that the lowest is $15, as far as I saw.
The lowest one is $8.97 that I'm seeing, and that's for Little Nemo, Adventures in Slumberland on DVD.
Huh.
Which I remember seeing that in elementary school when I was a kid. I didn't know what it was, but I thought it was still really cool to see.
Yeah, I think that's one of CG's beloved co-productions.
Yeah, it was one of those, like, it took a long time to make. And I remember a teacher bringing that in, like, I think it was towards the end of the year, like my third grade year. And I remember that, because that's the one about the kid on the flying bed and, like, a giant door castle. And I remember, like, Nostalgia Critic reviewed it, and that's when I was like, oh, wait, I have seen this before. Because for years, I wondered what the heck it was. Because I remember I didn't see the beginning of it. I just walked in the classroom for some reason for being late or with a teacher or something, and I didn't know what the heck I was watching.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's about the lowest thing that I saw. So this is pretty much everything on Discotech's library.
Did you see Fist, though?
Yeah, I said I saw Fist. Like, they had it for $40. Or at least the collection that I need.
Are you going to get it, or is it too much?
It's a little too much for right now.
I hope they don't let it go out of print with how they've got the new complete collection.
I think they probably let the other collections go out of print, so they would have a reason to release, like, the whole set by itself. And even the whole set for, like, you know, you're getting 52 episodes for $100? Like, that's actually a really good price.
Yeah. I should get that at some point. It's just, I just haven't gotten around to it yet, but it is a really good show.
Well, they actually do have a list on here for $89.97.
Yeah, so that's what, 60 cents an episode or something, it's a pretty good deal for such a good show.
Yeah, that is really good. Oh, they got the Dr. Slump movies for $17.97, so...
Oh, yeah.
They got, the Fate of Fury stuff for... At least the OVA for $14.97, which is about what I paid for on Amazon. Oh, that's right. I think I was talking about Devilman's. Just seeing what other people worked on.
Yeah, I think we talked about the whole OVA, and then we started talking about the credits.
Yeah, I was actually looking at the character designer, who's Kazuo Komatsubara. Let's see what he's worked on. He did character design for Arcadia My Youth movie and Galaxy Express. So I think he's done the character designs for the Matsumoto animes, it looks like, because he did... Let's see. So he was a character designer for the Devilman TV and OVAs. He did character design for Guy King, Galactic Gale, Baxinger, and Saucerreiger, and Briger. So he did the character designs for all of the J9 mech series.
Yeah, those are on the MSubs site. I've watched some of that. That's pretty good.
Because I actually did show those openings for my mecha panel at BonsaiCon, so a lot of people thought that was pretty cool.
It feels kind of like a mecha version of Lupin.
Even in the intro, it did, yeah.
The character designs and the attitudes of the characters and stuff. It seems that way to me.
Yeah. He did character design for Mazinger Z versus Devilman, but he did it for the Devilman character. And he did it for Nausicaä Valley of the Wind.
Oh, so, yeah. I kind of want to see that crossover movie.
Oh, the Mazinger versus Devilman? Yeah, I've always heard about it. I haven't seen it.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like it could be interesting.
This guy also did character design for Get a Robo as well. And,
he's involved with a lot of Go-Nagai stuff.
Grandizer, he did that too. I think that's all we can really say about Devilman, unless we had something else you wanted to talk about, like your thoughts on the current anime season or something like that.
No, not really. I guess one other thing I could say about Devilman is that I did watch the first 8 episodes of Devilman Lady a few months back, and that was pretty interesting as well. That's from the 90s, these OVAs, and it's about a female protagonist who gets, I don't remember how she gets the devil powers. I think there's some woman that gives them to her or something, and then she has to kill various demons. And it's very heavy on the lesbianism. Most of the demons try to rape her and rip off her clothes and stuff. Because it's Go-Nagai, he's into that.
But, yeah.
But it is a pretty entertaining show to watch, just because the character designs by Go-Nagai are so cool. And it's just entertaining, just like the Devilman OVAs. It's 26 episodes, though, so there's still another 18, 19 or something like that that I still have to see.
Yeah, I know it's a 26-episode series or around that point. That's all I know about the length of the show, at least.
Yeah, I saw the first 2 DVDs. I can't remember how many episodes were on there, but it's from ADV. I watched it dubbed. But the video rental place I got it at only had the first 2 volumes. I'll have to either buy the others on Amazon or watch them online or something.
It's such a crime that they have the first 2 DVDs of that, but they're able to fully carry Gasaraki.
Yeah, that is one of the only things they had fully is Gasaraki, and it's like, why did they get all of this of all things?
You know, I actually put that in that box of crap I sold at BonsaiCon. I just threw it in that
for
box.
$10?
And I sold this con. Well, I had it initially where I had the first 3 tapes, and they were sealed, and I was taping them together, and I was $5 for, 10 episodes. I'm thinking that's not a bad deal, but no one wanted it because it's VHS. I guess BonsaiCon didn't bring any kind of hipsters there, and so then I just threw it in with the box, and that's how I sold it to that guy because I was well.
I bet these days hipsters are like, do you guys remember DVD? That's some ancient technology, man.
Oh my effing arg.
Daft is always acting like DVD is an obsolete art form. He's like, why do you guys watch Toonami and buy DVDs? You can just pirate everything. If everybody acted like Daft, the anime industry would die.
Luckily, there's people that do not act like Daft, and Daft is the only Daft that I know of.
Yeah.
I don't care to know anybody else who's like Daft. I am aware that they exist, but I'm also aware that I do not want to ever meet.
Yeah, he's always, like, inviting us to go to keggers with him, with his anime bros in New Hampshire. And he's always trying to get CG to go and stuff. But it's like, no,
CG,
I don't want
no,
that.
CG's a case. CG's a different case now, because CG needs that. Like, he needs social interaction.
Yeah, like, CG is very isolated.
He told me on the AIM chat, like, a few minutes ago before we recorded, about how for his birthday, his mom made him homemade mac and cheese, and he had ham.
Yeah, that was all that happened.
That's kind of like poor people food for a birthday. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, macaroni and cheese. Feast of Kings, huh?
Homemade mac and cheese, if you know how to make it very well, or even ham. But on a birthday, like, you go out to O'Charlie's and cheese there, because you actually go out and somewhere. That's how we roll in our family when it comes to birthdays. It's a public venture, and we hog it for everything that it's worth for a couple weeks. So,
a lot of the time he'll say, like, oh, I was supposed to go to the dentist, but my anxiety is too high, so I canceled it. And he does that about, like, everything, and he's delayed for 7 years going to college. It's kind of sad.
Oh my gosh.
He's 25 after this birthday. And he's still not gone.
All he's been doing is fan-subbing that Monsuno and Tenkai Nights. The world's got to see that, because no one else can fan-sub those two animes. No one is qualified, not like CG.
At least he's not going to have to sub Detective Conan anymore, because Crunchyroll has licensed it and is finally doing some official simulcast subs. That was, I think it was like 8 or 9 years since Funimation kind of dropped that show.
Oh. But I wonder how many other people out there were fan-subbing Detective Conan.
I don't know, but there were people...
Probably more than him.
There were people who were going after him for dropping it, and they were like, we don't want to read these official subs because they're going to ruin my animes, and only you, CG, can do a good sub.
Oh my.
So it's like there are people reinforcing his behavior here. And it's kind of sad.
You know a better way to reinforce his behavior? If he goes out and applies that towards a job.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't mean to bust CG's chops, because honestly, like, if there's anybody else that I know of, I really can technically count, like, there's two people I know on the top of my head that I can go to if I want something translated, and he's number one. In case I ever needed it. And I thought about that F racing anime, because I didn't think anybody else was doing it, but somebody did my idea of putting it to English from the Italian subs, because that's what I was going to do.
Oh, and, yeah, there was a torrent on Nya, wasn't there?
Yeah, it's on there, but it's titled as Formula One.
Ah.
But, like, that saves me the time from doing it, and I was like, I think I remember going, I went on the guy's website, and I was like, holy crap, you took my idea, thank you so much, so I do not have to do this.
Yeah.
Because I've been, for months, like, I've been planning, ever since I got that fan sub of the Italian set, like, I'm like, alright, I gotta sit down, and I guess I'm just gonna go to freetranslation.com and type out all the notes, or try to get them as a text thing, and just copy and paste it. But this guy did it, and...
Have you watched any of his translation? Like, is it good?
I think I've seen a couple minutes of it. I think he did a verbatim translation from the Italian subs, because there's stuff in there that I'm like, that doesn't sound that good. I think the guy literally just, like, translated it. And there's people on Baka BT who were complaining about, like, how he got English terms wrong or something like that. But this is a British guy. So, and they're, like, complaining, like, oh, I dropped it after two episodes, because he kept mispronouncing the term there instead of, like, there are or whatever.
Oh. That's
like,
a common mistake.
These people were so uptight over that he didn't hyphenize, like, between the R, like, the R and E or whatever.
Yeah, anime fans can be pretty spoiled.
And they're just, like, complaining about it. I'm like, I'm freaking happy this is out so then I can finally understand it. And see, I had this ability, because I don't think people do, because they don't sound like they have it online. Where like I can read something, but then like I have my own way of interpreting it. So like if I read the subs, or even when I read like you know the Gundam mangas, when I read the Gundam mangas, half the time I'm substituting my own terms or my own letters or my own sentences in there, because to me it sounds better to the character that I'm reading about. Because I know vertical, no, it's nothing against like vertical's translation or anything. It's just how it's how I'm more engaged with the manga if I like skim over it and I read what it says, but then my mind translates it to a different way to pronounce it, and then I'm happy with that. But at least I'm understanding what the characters are saying, and that's the important part. So,
yeah, I mean, even if this guy's translation is not like spot on, or if there's grammar errors, you can get a better idea.
You can understand what's going on. Like, yeah. It's not the ARRR fan subs. God forbid that those L game OVAs. That was hard to understand. I mean. Like, it's just freaking anime fans.
Or those Turn A movies.
Oh, yeah, that was almost incomparable to understand what was going on.
Yeah.
Well, those were bad.
They would have, like, multiple characters speaking on one line of dialogue. It was just terrible.
Yeah. Well, I think the British guy is taking F, and he's just like, all right, this is kind of something he did, and then I think he's going to go back and, like, do like a version 2.0 and then like tweak everything. So
yeah,
that's kind of where, cause you can translate it, but you got to have someone there to kind of like, okay, how is this like to appeal to a broader audience? How is this, instead of being like super literal and it won't make any sense to the average person, how do we make it look like it's going to make sense?
And yeah. See, cause you do have to have a team, like you have to have a quality checker.
English. I speak slang all the time.
Yeah. I guess you do kind of need a quality checker or something to look through it and make sure it looks good before it comes out, but yeah. now that it's out, people are giving him comments anyway, so he can just go back and change anything if he needs to.
That's true. Well, I think the only other anime I would like to see fan subbed, and I think people are more than welcome to tackle this, even if it's not in Japanese, but it's done by TMS and it's directed by a Japanese director. Which is Reporter Blues, and like that could be translated, even though it's in other languages than Japanese. It's not in English, otherwise I would have seen it, but it's in like German and Portuguese and Spanish and French. So people who understand those languages, they could go ahead and translate it, because you could be able to understand the show. And I think CG saying that people are waiting for a Japanese version, it's like, why don't you just find the person who knows how to speak the other languages and have them translate it and write it out to English, and you're good. Because then I can go with the show. It doesn't have to be in Japanese.
The weeaboos won't listen to anything other than Japanese. Like, whenever they listen to anything in English.
Weeaboos. They can go to Weeaboo Devilman Hell. That's certain section of hell specifically designed for them that I know has to exist. For weeaboos only.
I mean, you should see some of the shit they send Jason DeMarco. It's just disgusting.
What was the thing he was ranting about, like, on Twitter or something? Because I remember you talking about it in the chat, like, yesterday or something.
Oh, it's that Toynami thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He was like, Toynami ripped off our idea of using the word tsunami, and they're ripping off our properties like Robotech and Tenchi, and making toys of them without our permission. But they don't own those shows. Toonami does not own those
Japanese
shows.
Japanese companies that too.
It's the Japanese company that licensed it out to Toynami. Because they wanted toys made for the American market.
Toonami, nothing more.
I mean, they're both puns on the word tsunami, like Colony Drop said. So it's not like Toonami has some monopoly on making that kind of pun.
Yeah, I think DeMarco's getting mad at them, and then Colony Drop, this is why I love him so much, is the fact it's like, why are you getting mad? Your own name is taken from the word tsunami, it's not copyrighted, so Toynami can do the same thing. But Toynami apparently makes crappy Robotech toys anyways, what does it matter?
I know DeMarco also hates Yu-Gi-Oh! I bet it's because there's a character called Mako Tsunami, and he's probably like, damn it, they stole our name again, they're calling a character Tsunami.
Four kids, how dare you? I heard an echo. I'm still hearing it. That's not going to show up on the recording, so.
Okay, if it's echoing, maybe we should end it.
I still hear myself talk. Wait. No, it's okay. Gone now.
How about now?
I think it's good, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we're at 54 minutes. We've already rambled about the state of the anime industry in today's world, so... And we only covered Devilman in like 30 minutes, which is surprisingly all you really need to talk about Devilman in 30 minutes, so...
Yeah. Well, it is only an hour long of VA, and we've talked about it for an hour, so it's good enough, I guess.
So I guess next year we can cover Amon, Apocalypse, of Devilman to keep up with it, so...
You haven't seen that one, right?
I have not seen that one.
That one is like two or three times gorier than the earlier ones.
I know One Pixel Jump, when they did podcast a few years ago, they covered that, and they made a GIF about a guy growing a super boner, and then like it seemed to be like some sort of banana peel and like sucked him whole or something. No, it's a weird GIF. I have to find that. But
yeah, there's a lot of strange images in that.
And then apparently there's something about throwing a train between like three skyscrapers or something ridiculous. Oh, you know what the coup de grace is? The live action Devilman movie, which I do own on DVD.
Oh, I haven't
ever watched it.
I guess we could talk about that in 2016.
Yeah, I guess we could. I mean, unless we feel like doing Devilman or reviewing Devilman earlier, but doing this as a Halloween thing is kind of a nice gig.
Yeah.
So, you know what I was thinking the other day? We have not covered those live action Guyver movies like we said we would 2 years ago.
Yeah, that's true.
We're going to have to – we have to do like a special block on this podcast where we cover live-action adaptations of anime. So that would include like the live-action Fist of the North Star, which is super dumb.
Oh, have you seen
it? It's still enjoyable.
I haven't seen that.
I think it still might be on Netflix. It was on there at one point. The live-action Crying Freeman movie, which I think is probably the best adaptation I've ever seen of any anime. But I love Crying Freeman, period, and Mark Dacascos.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got, like, the both Guyver movies. There's Devilman. And there's that Taiwanese Dragon Ball movie we can try to cover.
Oh, yeah. I hear that's really bad. Or Dragon Ball Evolution. We could always talk about that.
I guess so, yeah. Gosh, what else?
We could bring on Johnny Turner to defend it.
Wait, who? Oh, JT?
Yeah.
Do you really want to have JT on this podcast? Because I don't want to.
No, I'm just kidding. I don't think he'd really talk to us.
No. I'm curious how that guy sounds in real life.
Well, he made a Facebook post saying that everybody says he sounds gay, so I think that he probably is ashamed of his voice and wouldn't talk to us.
I mean, I've seen the pictures of him, and he looks like the type that would talk through his nose, like the typical nerds, I guess like me. But, I don't know, man. The way he talks online and how he, like, makes all these mentions and, like, all over just the stupidest stuff and how he's, like, obsessed over, like, Two and a Half Men and Big Bang Theory. Like, I don't know if I could put up with that.
I think he would probably talk the whole podcast and wouldn't give us any opportunity to talk about why we don't like Dragon Ball Evolution.
Then that's the point where, like, we need to kick him out before all that happens.
Yeah, just don't even let him in.
Just don't even bother putting him on here in the first place.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think we're out of steam for this, and I'm good with that. So
okay, so my closing remark will be also Dragon Ball related. From Love That Goku, well, this is a nightmare. Now Pascal thinks Master Roshi sexually engages his own pet turtle, and he doesn't want to watch Z anymore.
I do remember seeing that.
Yeah, it's because he was asking people to ask him questions about Dragon Ball Z again, and they asked him about the turtle. That's the favorite topic of his followers.
All right. Crap. I was trying to go on Twitter to pull up something. I just apparently found this, like, really good. Somebody wrote up a Gamergate comic to express their anger about Gamergate. And, oh, crap, where is it?
I saw one, the Cloud posted the other day, some comic about that.
No, this is pretty good. It's like a slugverse person or whatever. And, like, one of them has a caption. Let me pull it up. Ah, man. Hold on. Let me go to the actual link and see if it'll work.
The video quality is low or something? Or picture quality?
No, it's the picture quality, yeah. Like, it's one of those, like, it's a minimized. Let me just save the image and see what it does.
Sometimes on Twitter, it's really hard to see the pictures because it, like, shrinks them.
Yeah. You have to save them a certain way or something. I think this might work.
So are you, like, posting it in the Skype chat or something? Or?
Yeah, let me post the... I can at least post the Twitter thing in there. So at least you can see it. Yeah, hang on. Let me pull it up. Okay. There's a picture of, like, the squid person who's like, my harem of anime pillows didn't turn real yet. And then, like, the other guy is going... F-bombing, feminist, fuck! And apparently, like, the image of that is basically, like, a bunch of, like, love pillows with a bunch of, like, white residue all over it. So. Yeah. Alright, the next one after that is, well, now, it's our payback, you feminazi sluts. At last, it's our turn. I'm gonna find you, kill you, freeze the corpse, then carve it into ice-cold fleshlights. For those hot summer days. Otherwise, men, how can we trust game reviews? That's what I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. Somebody did this out of anger, and I think it's just really great, so.
Yeah. It seems that everybody hates Gamergate now that the whole Anita Sarkeesian thing happened.
You know what my thing is? I wonder if they're going to do an anime gate.
Oh.
Dude, to keep, you know how
pissed. To keep female anime watchers out of the anime fandom?
Yeah, who are going to be like, the feminists are like, I can't enjoy anime because women are so subjective in that, like, it's not as bad as video games, which is, no, it's not. It's not as, video games are not even that bad. Jeez. Anyways, but, yeah, like, you figure that's, like, the first thing they would go to. Like, I don't know why Anita Sarkeesian isn't, like, pointing the finger at Japan for this stuff. She hasn't even begun to point the finger at Japan, as far as I know.
Oh, well, I did see
and
that.
And everyone else is like, that's where all this crap comes from, and yet I don't know.
I did see that she had done some video where she was saying that Princess Peach is sexist, and then they made that t-shirt that was claiming that Mario is a male power fantasy because Mario has to rescue the princess and the princess can't rescue herself.
Oh.
But there are several Mario games where you can play as Princess Peach, like the
DS Mario one. Party! That's not sexist!
Yeah, the DS one, Mario Party, and Paper Mario. There's tons of ones where you can play as Peach and she's strong.
Wait, what about Super Mario RPG? I thought you can play her in that.
Yeah, maybe. And Mario 2, where she can, like, float in the air and shit.
Even though it's not really the real Mario 2, but anyways.
Yeah, whatever. It's still Mario. I mean, yeah. In America, at least.
It's not a bad American Mario game, so...
I know. It's, like, a lot of people's favorite Mario, even though it's not real Mario or whatever. But it's... I mean, yeah. It's still a good game.
I think we need to go ahead and close this down. So, happy Halloween, everyone. Thank you for listening to our rantings for the past half hour, which is longer than the freaking review itself, but who cares? And, yeah, take care. Till next time. My God, we
opposite Amon. Or perhaps you prefer to be called Devil Man. I ask you if you think my shell is beautiful.
Your shell?
Oh, what a pity. You don't even know what I'm talking about. Well, never mind. Take a closer look, and you'll get the picture.
I've been thinking a lot while I've been in here, and I wonder if what we're doing is right. Perhaps it's actually the natural order of things that demons should exist to kill people.
Now listen here, Ryo. If you ever say that again, I'll rip your fucking head off and shit down your neck, okay?
Yeah, okay.